On this episode, Ghost Joe talks a little bit about vampire lore, and Edgegrave Dave reviews Nosferatu. We also hear an EVP from an upcoming interview. So let's one, two, All right, let's go.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I'm your host, Ghost Joe. Today is a bit of a shorter of an episode than normal, but I promise it's definitely worth the listen. So before we begin, I wanted to tell you a little bit about what I have coming up in the near future. I recently did an interview with the amazing psychic housewife of New Jersey, Miss April Bazette. It was so awesome. She's extremely impressive, and I even got a quick impromptu reading too, which was completely by surprise. So that was pretty cool. April talks about her life as a psychic medium, as well as being the CEO of Ghosted Magazine and a soon-to-be TV star. The interview was a bit long because we had some technical difficulties and we had to continue another day. So it will be separated into two different parts. I did want you guys to hear something odd though. So I've had paranormal things happen while I'm doing interviews and stuff like that, and this one was really no exception. Right in the beginning, after April says hello, you hear a voice say something. I know what I think it says, but I want to know what you guys think. If you think you know, give me a call at 845-600-0744 and let me know. You can also use that number to tell us any of your paranormal experiences that you've had. So I'm going to play this possible EVP for you right now on loop. It's right after April says hello.
Hello. Hello.
So what do you guys think? Did you guys hear that? I played it three times. I know what I think I heard. It's pretty clear what I think it says, but I don't want to influence you from hearing it in any other way. So just let me know, okay? 845-600-0744. Well, on to the show. So stay tuned for part one and part two of my new friend April Bazette's interview coming up in the following weeks. But right now, we're going to talk about vampires, okay? Well, we know how the movies have portrayed them, from blood-sucking scary dudes with hypnotic eyes to pretty boys who just want to be loved. But there is a real history here. The first documented case of a real vampire is often attributed to Juror Grondo. A villager from the region of Istria, modern-day Croatia. He died in 1656, but according to legend, he returned from the grave at night and terrorized his village for 16 years until his decapitation in 1672. Juror Grondo was referred to as a strigen, a local term for something resembling a vampire and a warlock. The legend says that he would knock on doors at night, and whoever answered would die within a few days. The village priest and several villagers eventually exhumed his body, found it perfectly preserved, and decapitated him to finally put an end to his reign of terror. And then we also know of the infamous Vlad the Impaler, who a lot of people know as Dracula. He was the ruler of Wallachia. I don't think I said that right, but it's the modern-day Romania in the 15th century. He was known for his brutal methods of execution, including impaling his enemies, and some legends suggest he drank the blood of his victims. We also have Fritz Haarmann. He was a German serial killer active in the early 20th century. Haarmann was known for his gruesome murders, including biting through his victims' throats. Sound familiar? And then there's Lilith. In Jewish folklore, Lilith is sometimes considered a vampire-like figure. She is believed to be Adam's first wife, who refused to be subservient to him and was said to prey on men's erotic dreams. While the existence of vampires as portrayed in folklore and fiction is not supported by scientific evidence, there are real-life conditions and cultural practices that have contributed to the vampire myths. Number one, we have porphyria. This rare blood disorder can cause symptoms like extreme sensitivity to sunlight and anemia, which might explain some vampires-like traits. Catalepsy, a condition where a person appears dead due to extreme muscle rigidness and unresponsiveness, leading to premature burials in history, which I guess is why they used to put the bells on the coffins as well. Rabies. This disease can cause sensitivity to light and water, aggressive behavior, and sometimes a craving for raw meat. And then, of course, you have vampire bats. These creatures exist and feed on blood, primarily from livestock, but their behavior has influenced vampire legends. Additionally, cultural practices and misunderstandings of death and decomposition have fueled vampire myths. For instance, the process of decomposition can make a body appear bloated and cause blood to seep from the mouth, leading early societies to believe that the deceased were consuming blood. Throughout history, there have been numerous cases where people were accused of being vampires. These accusations often arose from a lack of understanding of diseases and natural phenomena. Here are a few notable examples. Arnold Paoli, a Serbian soldier who died in 1725. After his death, several villagers claimed he had attacked them, leading to his body being exhumed and staked. Mercy Brown. In 1892, in Rhode Island, USA, a young woman named Mercy Brown was exhumed and her heart was removed and burned after villagers believed she was a vampire responsible for a tuberculosis outbreak. And then there's Clara, I'm not going to be able to say that, Gasslerin. In 1597, Clara from Germany was accused of witchcraft and vampirism, confessing under torture to drinking the blood of children. These cases often involved exhuming the bodies of the accused and performing rituals to ensure that they were truly dead. It's fascinating, albeit grim, but it is a part of folklore and history. So now, without further delay, let's listen to our guy, Edgegrave Dave, with his horrible review on the remake of the 1922 silent film, Nosferatu. Take it away, Dave.
Horrible Review with Edgegrave Dave.
Greetings, grave diggers. The number that we shall be discussing, Edgegrave Dave wants to talk about the number 102. Ha ha ha. 102 years ago, the first modern day horror movie, and that's from 1922, had come out. And that was Nosferatu, A Symphony of Horror, a film that paved the way for maybe even the whole genre itself. At least that's how a lot of people feel about it anyway. 102 years from 2024, when this had come out, and still in the movies right here and now, in 2025, that would make the number 103. Ha, ha, ha. So turning our pages in our history books from 1922 all the way to 2024, we're going to go over Nosferatu 2025. Oops, I saw it in 2025. It came out in 2024. Anyway, spoiler alert, here we go. Edgegrave warning. Now, the reason for all this time jumping, and it's starting to sound something like Back to the Future Part 2 over here, is that this movie's fresh. I had just seen this theatrically at the time of this recording. It has done very, very well at over $156.3 million worldwide. That is a remarkable feat for this movie. And did you know that this is not the first remake? There was another one in 1979 that was a little bit closer in a way to its silent film counterpart. But the counterpart of all of this is Bram Stoker's Dracula. We'll get into that just a little bit. But first, I want to take another little detour to the year 2000, as Nosferatu is actually quite personal to Edgegrave Dave, and I'm about to tell you why. I don't even know if Ghost Joe remembers or even knew this one. Let me tell you a little story. So back in the year 2000, when we had the band, I was in a relationship with a certain someone. And that certain someone had an internship at a theater company by the Avenue of the Americas in New York City. That theater company did the off-Broadway play Nosferatu, which ran from May 25th to June 11th, 2000. And the gentleman that played Nosferatu, his name is Nikolai Kinski. Nikolai was the son of Klaus Kinski, who did the 1979 movie. I would drop off my friend almost every single day that she was needed. She helped the set and prop designer and anything else that they needed. If they needed anything from a slice of pizza in New York, yeah, we are New Yorkers over here. If she needed to find a certain type of costume, we even hit some stores a little bit before the Amazon.com craze and all that stuff. And I would kind of hang around like a fly on the wall. And I got to kind of hang out a little bit with some of the cast, some of the crew, see a couple of things. And Nikolai would come in from time to time. He had his head shaved like his father did as Nosferatu, just listening to his headphones. I'm trying to think, we had a conversation of either about Nine Inch Nails or the Misfits. It was definitely one of those bands, as I'm trying to think, but he was kind of rocking out. And at the very end of the show, I got to see the after party, which is pretty awesome. Never in my wildest dreams would I think that I would get to see like a Broadway or off-Broadway after party, you know, kind of see everything that was going on. But anyway, they handed out bottles of vampire wine at that time. And Nikolai had an extra one. And he said, "Hey, Dave, there's an extra one. Would you like it?" And you know what? I still have that very bottle to this very day. It is literally upstairs in my kitchen, and it's something that I take out from time to time just to kind of display it there because it is pretty cool. So there you go. That is a direct connection to both the film and play Nosferatu, and it's something that I'll never forget. So getting back to the source material of Nosferatu, and even in the new one, it does say based on the book Bram Stoker's Dracula. Back in 1922, Florence Stoker was the widow of Bram Stoker. Man, she fought a long legal battle. She believed that the film had copyright infringement and threatened the ability to sell her husband's work. She sued the film producers. A German court ruled in her favor and ordered all copies of the film in Germany to be destroyed. Now, the key word was in Germany. However, copies of the film continued to circulate in the US and the UK. She did all that she could to destroy copies that she found, but they did live on in bootlegs. And it's so crazy to think that if this film didn't see the light of day, I'm not going to go ahead and say something crazy like the Universal Studios monsters, which Dracula was one of them, by the way, wouldn't have come out. But it did, as many people believe, give birth to the horror genre in general. Isn't that something? But this new film really was something, and it has an incredible cast. It has Bill Skarsgård as Count Orlok, Pennywise himself. Lily Rose Depp did an incredible job as Ellen Hutter. Willem Dafoe, and man, has he been popping up almost everywhere lately. He was in the film, and you know what? In the year 2000, he played Nosferatu in the making of the 1922 film Nosferatu called Shadow of the Vampire. And Nicholas Hoult as Thomas Hutter. Really, everybody did a great job. Aaron Taylor Johnson as Frederick. And I recently did see him in Kraven the Hunter. That's a story for another day. This was done as a great period piece. And sometimes that could do great for the film. Sometimes it can kind of be stuck there where it can't relate to the audience. I really felt that it did an excellent job of painting the picture of the early 1830s in Germany. And the sets that they used, you know, I would just really love to dig deeper and see what is more practical effect, what is more CGI. The look that Bill Skarsgård had, while it was a little bit different, he had a mustache and more of a decrepit kind of a look, almost like zombie-like flesh in certain areas and a little piece of hair. He had a really deep voice. Like this, that, you know, when he spoke, it just really shook the speakers. And the whole atmosphere of it in and of itself, you can just get lost in it. And getting lost in it, if I have one minor thing to say, not really so much of a complaint, the action sequences are really spaced out with a lot of dialogue. Definitely do not see this film when you're falling asleep after work or when you're tired. I did actually see it when it was quite late after work, but still, it does keep your attention. There is a lot of dialogue. Some of it might even be a little difficult to hear, especially if, like they say, silence your phones if you're not really paying attention. I will say that the journey that Thomas does have to the castle where we first meet Count Orlok to make the deal so we can buy the piece of land, I did find that was a little bit draggy, but the premonitions that his wife Ellen has and how she's connected to the vampire Nosferatu, I really like the way that that was going. Parts of it did seem slightly draggy, but the payoff really, really was great, and they really talk about the plague that happened at that time where, you know, people were just suffering like this black death, and you see how there were rats in the streets and how they contracted a virus. And I hate to say it, but it really did sort of, I think, make everybody think a little bit about the COVID times that were somewhat recent here. And, you know, it's just kind of paints a picture of that time. I think that the music, I think that the way that the vampire is drinking, and it's almost like everything's shaking and vibrating when he's drinking blood. I just really love how that was done. And there's a lot of feeling in the movie. I mean, you really feel horror and you feel sadness, and there's the entertainment factor and what's going to happen next. It's just that it had a certain pace where it was going and you're really interested, and then it kind of switches to something else. It all did work very, very well. I just found that maybe certain editing could have been done where perhaps there's a little bit more of the action type stuff. When it works together as a whole story, I think people could be divided about that, but it's doing very, very well. And I think people are really enjoying it. I don't usually read any reviews before I review anything, but just because of how long that it's been in theaters, and I checked, there's still times that are going way out there at the time of this recording. It is late January of 2025. This film debuted here in the States, I believe, that it was Christmas Day. So it's definitely doing something right. It's different than a lot of other things that are coming out. Period piece films haven't really been as common now as maybe in the 90s. I do think it's something that you're going to enjoy. I'm really weighing in. So much of me wants to give it a 4 out of 5 Graves. I truly, truly do. I'm going to don't want to get in trouble here of certain people. I'm inclined to maybe go with a 3.5, but I truly feel it does deserve the 4 out of 5 Graves. I think the attention span that it deserves, it's really just your responsibility as a film viewer and a moviegoer to just give your all to the movie. You know, just don't be distracted and just have the energy that you need to see it, really. I think that we forget that sometimes when we throw on things and we're on our phones and we're doing, you know, all kinds of like other things. My biggest takeaway of seeing films theatrically is that that's the activity that you're doing. And I think most of you out there are going to really pay attention to the dialogue, and you might just have to really listen because there's accents and things like that. But let's go ahead, give it 4 out of 5 Graves. Everybody did a phenomenal job. Lily Rose Depp is especially really going to go someplace. Bill Skarsgård's already there, and I really have high hopes to see what's going to happen in the future. Extremely happy that this film came out. Glad that I have seen it so I could add it to the ranks of the other Nosferatu films. And it also did a great job of showing some black and white sequences when he was drinking blood. I thought that was an excellent homage in and of itself. So, all right. Creatures of the Night, stay groovy. Edgegrave out. Back to you, Ghost Joe.
Thank you so much for that awesome, horrible review, as usual, Edgegrave. It's kind of funny to me, though, that when we think about vampires, you and I, we go straight to the Count from Sesame Street. You know, not we don't quote anything from Interview with the Vampire or 30 Days of Night, or even, you know, Dracula Dead and Loving It. We quote Sesame Street. But hey, you know, that was our generation. By the way, Have you guys, anybody from New York City, did you guys know that there's a Jim Henson exhibit in the Museum of Motion Picture in Astoria, Queens, in New York City? I got to check that out. I want to see the real Kermit and all the other Muppets. I'm just a nostalgia guy like that, you know? But yeah, guys, that's going to do it for us. Thank you very much for hanging out. And yeah, I hope you learned something today. Remember, stay tuned for those two parts of the April Bizet interviews. I know you're going to love them. And also, we are going to be putting out, hopefully it's going to include myself, the Nat Man, and Michelle. And we're going to put out an awesome, awesome, very nice Valentine's Day episode of the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. So please check that out. Check everything out. And remember, check out all of our socials. And yeah, have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast. And thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warpedrealitypodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.